At 29 years of age, Daphne Ling has been through much more than most of her peers. A mother of two and also the blogger behind MotherInc.org, she not only documents her children's lives, but also provides insightful commentary on contemporary parenting issues. Hi, I'm Sarah Cheng DeWin, and you're listening to Raw and Ready on 938 Live, the talk show that digs deep with young people who've been there, done that. And we are continuing today with our series on youth bloggers. Welcome to the show, Daphne.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Daphne is the winner of the Best Parenting Blog at the Singapore Blog Awards 2011. She was also a finalist for the Most Insightful Blogger at last year's Singapore Blog Awards, as well as for Best Asian Blog in the prestigious 2011 Web Blog Awards. She's also a columnist at www.maybebaby.sg for I Love Children and popular women's portal Cozy Cot. In March this year, she was invited by Disney as one out of three bloggers in the Asia-Pacific region for a fully sponsored trip to Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, to attend Disney's Social Media Moms Conference. So you had your first kid at 26 and second when you were 27.
That's correct.
How did having kids change your life?
Well, having kids actually totally changes you. I didn't expect the kind of transition that I had to make when I had kids. Back before I gave birth, I had this grand plan of how I was going to take care of the kids, put them in childcare, continue working. And the moment the kid came out, it was just all completely down the drain. And 1 month in, I decided to just quit my job and to stay home with the kid. And I haven't gone back to work since. So since then, I've been a stay-at-home mom. And that is how the blog came about, actually. Being at home with the kids and then, you know, looking for ways to plug into the community back with a group of other mothers. I think my blogging has actually helped a lot because that's where I got to know a lot of people and who shared the same experiences, because a lot of my peers actually are still not parents. Some of them are not even married. So it's a totally different lifestyle. And being a blogger actually did help a lot in getting to know people, learning how to tackle parenting issues, actually.
So you use your blog as a shout out for help?
Sometimes, yes. I read other blogs. That comes in very helpful because then they share the kind of experiences that they've had. And then I go, oh, yeah, that's how they did it. That's how maybe I should follow the same strategies, for example. And as well as certain things that, you know, I've experienced, I've got other mothers coming up to me and saying that, oh, that really helped, you know, advice that you gave on the blog that they took and then they used and it helped them with their kids as well.
So what's unique about the content of your blog? I mean, you won an award this year for it.
Yeah, okay. Back when I started the blog 2.5 years ago, I was actually quite late into the game because there are, like, I think literally tens of thousands of mommy blogs. And what I wanted to do was to offer a different perspective on parenting, something unconventional, for example, and as well as to tackle issues that most mommy blogs don't actually talk about, like, for example, sex and pregnancy, for example. I wrote a post on it, you know, because there are kinds of difficulties when you're pregnant, and then people don't really talk about it, right? So I had an interview with Simply Her, asking me about, you know, issues like sex and pregnancy, and I wrote an entire post on it, and I had a very good response. You know, some of the readers wrote in and said, you know, that's hilarious. And then besides that, it actually deals with certain issues that, you know, was kind of helpful to them.
So you said that you have an unconventional perspective. Can you share more about your unconventional perspective?
Well, yes. Okay. Well, because right now, if you go to the bookstores, you realize that there are many parenting philosophies, and sometimes they are completely contrasting. And, you know, as a new mother, for example, you don't really know how to navigate with this baby thing and what you're supposed to do. And then along the way, I realized that they just offer some sort of guidance, but you just have to wing it. A lot of the things we did with our first kid, we just sort of, you know, came up with different ways to do it, because with the baby, when the baby is there, you can have a good strategy, for example, like let the baby sleep on his own cot and, you know, no co-sleeping, no sleeping on the bed. And along the way, it just completely messes up. You don't follow. The kids clearly don't care about your strategy and you just have to, you know, adjust along the way.
You also don't have help at home, I understand.
Yes,
you actually are, like, the only one taking care of your children. Why do you choose not to have help at home?
Well, I think the biggest reason is really because I wanted to be the primary caregiver for the kids. And I think the kids really know if you're the one that cleans their diapers, feeds them, bathes them. And I wanted to be hands-on totally. And also, a more practical reason was because initially, when I had the kid, I like I mentioned, I thought of going back to work. So my options were really either childcare or having like a stay-at-home helper, like a maid at home. And none of them worked out for us. So it was more of like a lack of options rather than, you know, a clear choice.
And your parents are working,
yeah,
right?
Both our parents are working. So we didn't really have a lot of help in that sense.
So how do you cope with help nowadays? What is a daily routine like for you?
Well, now it's great because the kids just went to school like a couple weeks ago. So I have
Are they old enough?
They are 2 and 3. So it's kind of like a 3-hour program where they go in and they sing songs and dance around a little bit. And that's really helpful because I get like 3 whole hours to myself. I've never had that. For like 3 years, I can sit down and have coffee, have breakfast. And that's just, you know, that's just great. So right now, an average day is like they go to school from like 9 to like 12. And then after that, I pick them home, they come back for the naps. And then we go to the playground, have some activities, and then it's dinner time.
We're having a conversation with Daphne Ling. She's the blogger behind motherinc.org, and she was the winner of the Best Parenting Blog at the Singapore Blog Awards 2011. We're going to speak with her more about how she juggles her work and taking care of the children, as well as any other sacrifices she's made, and of course her views of how social media can help to build communities among young mothers like herself. We continue with Raw and Ready on 938 Live in just a bit. I'm Sarah Ching Dubin.
Are you ready for the future? Because we're it. Raw and Ready on 938 Live. Turn on the heat. Because we're Raw and Ready on 938 Live.
We're having a conversation with Daphne Ling. She's 29 and a mother of 2 and the blogger behind motherinc.org. And she's been telling us more about how she doesn't have help at home, how she's been very lucky to finally have 3 hours every morning to herself. And she's also a writer, and she writes on the, kind of, not on the side, right? It's kind of just, you just kind of work from home.
Yeah, I kind of work from home.
How do you balance out your working with your children, taking care of?
Right. Before they went to school, it was actually quite insane because you may imagine that, you know, having the kids around, you can have pockets of 15 minutes to do work, which is what I thought initially, but it's almost impossible to do any writing done with the kids running around and screaming, and then every 5 minutes they're coming, I want this, and I want gummies, and I want that. So what I used to do was to start work at about 10 o'clock at night when they went to bed, and I would work till like 2 or 3 in the morning. That was my optimum work hours, you know, and which is why part of the reason why they went to school right now, so that I get some time off to do some work. And the 3 hours in the morning does help a lot because I get to sit down and focus on work. And then, you know, after that, if I do need more time, then in the evenings that will come in.
What are some personal sacrifices that, you know, you're making right now as a young mother and also a stay-at-home worker?
Yes, not to make myself sound so awesome, but then the thing is, like I said, having kids actually does change you. And the decision to stay home with the kids did mean that we had a lot of trade-offs because obviously I had to take a pay cut, you know, working from home as a freelance writer at first. And so the initial 1 or 2 years, you know, things like shopping, things like holidays were things that we had to give up because of the kids. And then the kids' expenses, that was just insane. And then, of course, timing-wise, I don't have time to go for spas or my shopping trips or even movies, for example. I didn't watch movies for almost like an entire year. So, you know, it was just I was more or less confined at home initially. I think, you know, those are the sort of trade-offs that you have when you have a child because they demand so much of your attention all the time and everything gets put on hold for them.
But being a young mother, I mean, compared to most of your peers, which you mentioned, some of them not even married, why did you choose this route rather than, you know, doing the normal thing of working until much later and then having kids in your 30s?
I think me and my husband, we do like kids a lot, and we got to know each other in university. And I think back then we were already famous. I did say I wanted to have kids by 25.
So famous.
A year late. I mean, not really famous, but all our friends knew that I wanted 7 kids actually. And
you're planning for more now.
Cut down, right now it's down to 4. And it's 3 less than our original plan. But, we do like kids a lot, and I wanted to have them young because, you know, I wanted to be able to keep up with them. And when they're like, you know, 18, 20, I wouldn't be like that old. So that was the reason why we started have kids early. And that meant that we had to make a lot of adjustments in our lifestyle because, you know, we couldn't do a lot of the things that our peers were doing. And that's part and parcel of being a parent, I think.
How do you juggle your relationship with your husband versus taking care of the children? If you're working at night and then your children are late, then where do you find time to build that relationship?
It was really tricky at first because I think the first year that we had kids, it was just totally intense because all your couple time, all your alone time gets thrown out the window. And we used to go out, leisure time, go for movies. The moment the kid came along, it was none of it at all. So what happened was that I think we had to come to an agreement on how, you know, we find time as and when they came and made the most of it. And only recently, I would say the past year or so, that we managed to leave the kids with our in-laws and our parents. They would help out like on the weekend so that we get some time off. So it's about, you know, trial and error, finding out what works. And then, I mean, I'm really thankful that my husband is understanding. He helps out a lot with the kids. He's very hands-on. So a lot of our couple time is now spent watching the kids, bringing them out, you know, to the parks. But of course, when we're there, we get to, you know, spend some time alone when the kids are off running and playing. So, we do find time wherever we can.
In, you know, contemporary child development research, there's this phenomenon known as intensive mothering, where mothers in contemporary society feel pressured to provide like enrichment and a great deal of resources into their children's learning. How much of an intensive mother would you consider yourself?
Very little. Well, okay. The thing is, I think being a mother in Singapore is so stressful because, you know, we've got all these standards of like how we should, the kids' education is so important. And then I have friends who, when the kids are just born and then they're already on the wait list for these really top schools, and it didn't even occur to us that school was important until like a couple months ago. So then only we started scrambling and, you know, all the schools were full. There was a waiting list a mile long. And then we just decided, I mean, we didn't really need to send them into the best schools. So, to us, I think, because I spent so much time with them at home, and a lot of their development comes when, you know, I watch them grow and I bring them out to the playgrounds. And so for the better part of this year, actually, up to last month, I was sort of homeschooling them. And my curriculum was, you know, I did do some research on homeschooling, like do our worksheets, but they didn't really care about them. They just would crush them into little balls when I started to have lesson time. And they would just like try and stuff them in my shirt or throw them around. So I figured along the way that just not going to do it at all. And we would just maybe go to the park or bring them shopping. That would be our like lesson for the day. And they had fun. And then, you know, it's less stressful for me as well.
So homeschooling in a more kind of informal way, it's
yes.
Not so much like, okay, sit down and learn how to write your letters right now.
Yeah, they're not really interested when I make them sit down, you know.
Does it help that there's actually two of them and they play with each other?
It does help with the playing, but especially when it comes to structured learning, it does not help at all because then when one goes crazy, the other one just watches and then follows suit. So the chances of them sitting down quietly is extremely low. And usually what happens is that, they do play together very well. So that's great for me because I can just leave them with some toys and then, you know, let them have their own time.
And, you know, I mean, going back to the thing about, you know, sending kids to school, but I mean, you're already sending them at like age 2 and 3. I mean,
yeah.
I would consider that quite young to be sending kids to school.
Yeah.
I mean, would you be sending them for enrichment classes and all that quite soon?
I doubt it. Honestly speaking, the 3 hours that they're going is mostly as a, it buys me some time. So, you know, it gets them to play with other friends and I don't expect them to do much learning in that sense. It's just to expose them to, you know, social interaction when, and then they get to play. So I think maybe when they're a little older, like in primary school, that would be like where the stress kicks in and then, you know, all the homework and all that.
Okay, so you're quite relaxed as a mother right now.
Yes, I am.
It's more for your own sanity. We're having a really interesting conversation with Daphne Ling because she's a young mother of two. At 29 years old, she's also the award-winning blogger of motherinc.org. And we will be having more conversation with her about her views on social media community building, as well as on her own personal style and the sustainability of blogging as a career. Raw and Radio 938 Live, I'm Sarah Ching Dubin. Stay with us.
How we roll. Raw. Ready. This is how we roll.
As many new young mothers face the issue of going back to work, Daphne Ling has made the very, very brave decision to actually leave corporate working life to take care of her children full-time. She's only 29 years old, but already as a mother of two and the award-winning blogger of motherinc.org, she looks set for great things indeed. Yes, Daphne?
Yes. Well, okay. It was actually a difficult decision that I made at that time because I didn't know what to expect, and of course, financially, you know, it was half the income for me to stay at home, and I had no idea that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, and I had all these plans of, you know, working and doing, like, corporate stuff that people do, but I think when the kid came along, it just, you know, we decided that they're only young ones, and then, you know, if I went back to work now and missed out on these early years with them, I'm never going to have them back. So I'd rather do it this way, and then, you know, I can still go back to work eventually if I still wanted to.
I mean, you were working in media relations,
yeah.
And I mean, it's kind of still, like, you know, related to writing, and you now have the, you know, flexible work arrangement system, which is still great, right?
Which worked out great, I would say,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, what advice do you have for mothers who don't have, you know, this ability or this flexibility in their job scopes?
I think definitely regardless of whether or not you are going to work at home, you have to come to terms with the trade-offs that are involved in leaving your job, because security, financial security is definitely a big factor, because even like freelance work, it's not regular all the time, and you would have to be prepared to make certain adjustments. I think that the most important thing is to figure out what works for you, because I know of mothers who are perfectly happy going back to work, and to them, you know, their job is, it gives them the kind of satisfaction that being at home can't. So they go back to work and it works out for them. And if you're the sort that needs to stay home with the kids and be there with them every second of every day, then being a stay-at-home mom would actually work out for you better.
So you're saying it depends on whether you know, you get some satisfaction out of your work,
yeah,
versus your choice to actually get satisfaction from, you know, taking care of the,
yes,
kids yourself. And how about the role of the husband in, you know, in this situation? I mean, for you, you have a very supportive husband. I mean, can you share us more about, you know, what your husband helps you out with that really helps?
Yes, he basically does, you know, in fact, all the parenting duties, he can do it, so that if I were to go away for like a week, the kids are in good hands. He does know how to bathe them and feed them and change them. And so, you know, he's got the whole father thing down pat. Also, I think he was a big part in making this decision to stay at home, because it would definitely affect him quite a bit, because he would be the sole breadwinner for a while. And, you know, that would mean that certain sacrifices had to be made on his part as well. And I think we had a long discussion, and after that he decided, okay, you know, let's just do it. And whatever that happens, we'll just figure it out along the way.
So right now on the issue of income, how do you generate income from your blog?
Wow, that's actually not a lot. I do host a bit of ads on the sidebar, but I think the bulk of it does come from writing jobs, and the blog does give very good exposure because it's like a portfolio online. So if people are looking for that kind of writing style and it suits them, then that's where I get some emails, and then if they do have opportunities, then they'll let me know, and then that's where I get most of my jobs from.
What's unique about your writing style, do you think?
I think it's a little less formal, and I think the personality comes through. So, you know, it's a bit quirky. It's not, you know, your typical magazine style, because, not as formal as that.
So what is one of your, like, you know, your pet topics that you like to write about in your current, your everyday blog?
Well, obviously parenting. The kids do play a big part in contributing content. I do write a lot about their conversations, what they say, what they do. And, you know, the experience of being a stay-at-home mom with them, I think that's, like, the bulk of what the blog is about.
You also like to, you know, write occasionally on current affairs. Are there any other issues, like, non-related to parenting that you like to talk about?
Right. Well, of course, I mean, besides talking about the kids, I do try to provide, like, you know, talk about different topics. For example, yeah, like you said, current affairs, even things like, you know, travel, shopping, yeah, I'm going to maybe try my hand at, you know, cooking recipes at some point. I'm not very good at that, but, you know, being a stay-at-home mom and then you're cooking all the time for the kids. So maybe at some point, you know, that's going to come in, but I'm not sure yet.
I actually saw on your LinkedIn that you actually have this label business.
Oh, yes.
Is that tied into your blog in any
way?
No,
not at all. It's just something that we decided to do because...
We as in you and your husband?
Me and my husband and three other partners, one designer and a web person. So because I was actually sourcing for labels, you know, back when I had my first kid, and those really cute labels that you paste on their bottles and everything, and I just couldn't find nice ones. And I sourced the web and I ordered mine from Australia. Then I decided, why not just make my own? Because a lot of my friends were asking me where I got them from. And then, you know, they said plaster shipping and all that is quite pricey. So I decided that I'm going to start my own. And then I got a designer to come in and she does all the designs. And then we found a printer. So we just decided, okay, let's just go with this. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, really, like, you know, starting something on our own. And we'll see how far this goes.
Was it a big investment?
No, not really. I mean, a lot of time for sure to do the designs and then to do the planning and the marketing and the strategy planning. But in terms of financial investment, not so much.
So what? So how is the strategy right now? Is it mainly going through your blog?
We have a Facebook page for it. That's where the bulk of the orders come in. We're doing a website right now. Hopefully it's out in a month or two. So when that's up, that's where the orders can come in from.
So now you have a second business. I mean, do you think that in any way you might stop blogging in the future or change your line of work?
Well, I think after 2 years of blogging, blogging has really been a big part of my life right now because it's something that I do. And then I realized that, you know, it reaches all these people and I get to know so many mothers from blogging, which I would not have met if I didn't start the blog. And I think... I am probably going to continue it for a long time to come until, you know, the kids are big and then nobody wants to read about what they do anymore.
We're having a really, really quite interesting conversation because Daphne not only is a blogger, she's now also a businesswoman.
Yes, you can
and,
say that.
And has used her interest in her children to actually come up with a new idea. And we're going to still talk to her more about virtual communities, as she was saying, meeting other mothers online and how that has affected her life. Stay with us, Ron, Ready on 9th Rate Live. We'll be back very shortly.
Ready, set, raw. And ready on 938 Live. Get set to talk, because we're raw and ready on 938 Live.
Daphne Ling is with us. She's the blogger behind motherinc.org and she blogs about her 2- and 3-year-old children and as of course a range of other parenting issues. And as she mentioned, current affairs, travel, shopping, although she said she didn't have much time for it.
Yes. Recently I've had more time.
Yes, with the 3 hours in the morning.
Yes.
Many bloggers use their influence to raise, you know, social issues they care about. And you use the blog, you know, to organize a carnival for kids for the children's Cancer Foundation. Can you share more about this experience?
Yes, I actually did this last year because when we started the blog, we've always wanted to do something, you know, to give back. And then I think we came across this Children's Cancer Foundation when my son was ill and he was admitted to KK Hospital. And then we walked past, beside his ward was this CCF area where the kids were there. And then we just decided, why not, let's just do something for them. And so I approached them and then they said that instead of raising funds, because that's what a lot of companies do, why not organize a carnival where they can come down and then they can have fun. We'll have booths with all the activities. And we can get our kids to come down and they can meet them and spend some time together, which I thought was a great idea. So what I did was I used the blog as a platform to get sponsors on board in exchange for, you know, shout-outs for their companies, and as well as get other bloggers involved. So they came down with all their kids and put together this carnival, and it was a lot of fun. So I think on that, you know, note, what the blog is actually, you know, it's a great tool to use for gathering people and then getting issues out there.
How do you meet other bloggers? I mean, this is like a virtual thing. So how do you get in touch with other bloggers?
Well, I think the community, the mommy blogging community here is not that big. I mean, we do read each other's blogs and I do spend a lot of time on, you know, other blogs. So then we leave comments and then we get to know each other via email. A lot of them I've never met in person until the event itself. And then, they come to the blog and, you know, that's how it starts. So, yeah.
So these other mummy bloggers just rallied around your initiative and just lend their support. How strong do you think the bonds of a virtual community are compared to real life communities?
Well, I think it's is actually quite strong because even though we've never met in real life, we do spend a lot of time reading each other's blogs. So it's like almost on a daily basis, I do get to know what the kids are doing, what they're up to, and you do have a lot of information about each other. So it's you know, in a way, kind of strange because when you finally meet them in person, you're like, I know all these things that you've done. And then, you know, so yeah, it's interesting how we navigate, you know, in this blogging relationship. But I do feel that the relationship is quite strong, and then we do become friends, and you know, from the blog, and then we do go for the same events sometimes, and that's where, you know, we spend time together.
So would, in the future, you think virtual communities actually be able to replace real-life communities?
I think it probably has to go hand in hand because, you know, it would be good to meet up face-to-face and then have play dates, for example. But because of the constraints of being a parent, sometimes you just don't have the luxury of time to spend, you know, going out on play dates. And then what you can do is to catch up, like, late at night on other people's blogs because, you know, that's the only time that you have. So I would say eventually, I mean, when the opportunity arises, then you can organize play days and meetups. And for example, the Happy Day event, that's where a lot of the bloggers came together and we could spend time chatting and getting to know each other.
And this blog community, is it about like less than 100 people or like less than 50 people?
Well, I mean, for my blogs in Singapore, it's I think hundreds. But I would say the people that I actually spend most time with is maybe, you know, 20, 30 of them.
And what's the best friendship or best experience that has come out of one of your blog connections?
What I do is, you know, when I have certain parenting issues that I face and I'm not sure how to, you know, what to do with the kids. And a lot of these bloggers do offer their help. And then, you know, I would just ask a question like, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? The kids are not sleeping, for example. And then they're actually very forthcoming. So they just come out and say, okay, maybe you should try this and you should try that.
Is it on a forum or on your blog?
On the blog.
Oh, on your blog.
On the comments or maybe on Facebook.
So these people are like your regular readers as well.
Yeah, sort of. Or like, I just, you know, go to their blogs and I said, hey, that's a great idea that you've done with your kid. And, you know, they say, yeah, why not? You can try this or that. So that really helps.
How sustainable do you think blogging is as a longer term career for you?
Well, I wouldn't actually call it a career because, I mean, honestly, in terms of, you know, the pay that I get from it, it's not a lot. But it's definitely something that I enjoy doing very much. And I've always liked writing. And this actually allows me to write, you know, without people, you know, editing my work. And it's just, you know, whatever that I feel is out there on the blog. And I definitely would be doing it for a long time, I think.
What's your view on self-censorship?
I do that a lot, honestly speaking, because I do feel that, you know, sometimes you do read blogs and then sometimes you feel like, okay, maybe you shouldn't have said that or maybe you shouldn't, you know. And to me, before I post anything, I do get my husband to read it and then, you know, he give me his views, like, especially on sensitive topics, for example. I'll get feedback and say, you know, maybe now's not the right time to tackle this issue. Then, you know, I just leave it for a while.
So he doesn't have, but he doesn't. Does he have issues with his own personal information being put up online? And...
I know he's okay. Yeah, he's got no privacy left.
So what's the next step for you in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I plan to have 2 more kids.
Oh, in yes, that's right.
Yes, I plan to have 2 more in the next 2 years. I've even got names for them, in fact.
Oh, wow.
So that should be in the pipeline. And then this Happy Day thing, I hope to do it. We are planning to do it this year. And hopefully it can be an annual thing. And of course, I definitely will continue writing about the kids and whatever other issues that come up. Yeah.
And it's been a pleasure having Daphne here with us in the studio on 938 Live, Raw and Ready. And you can check out her blog at motherinc.org or look for her new label business called
Child Label.
And it's on Facebook. Great. And I believe you can buy labels off there, yeah?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. And if you'd like to leave Daphne a comment, do give us a comment on Facebook at facebook.com/rawandready. For 938 Live, I'm Sarah Ching Dubin.
This is how we roll.